Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps. And thanks.
2 years ago, the National Academy of Sciences Research Council issued a report evaluating how well the federal government's climate science program was doing. Now the NRC has issued a new report, and this one looks to the future. Professor Chris Justice from the University of Maryland is vice chair of the committee that wrote the report, and Professor Justice says the focus of climate science research needs to change.
We identified some areas where we were making very good progress in the natural sciences. We'd been making inadequate progress in looking at the impacts on human well-being and societal vulnerabilities, how societies are going to be able to adapt and what we're going to do to mitigate, and which sectors of society are going to be particularly vulnerable to changing climate.
So the focus is now climate change as a fait accompli. It's going to be here and we better get ready for it.
That's right. And I think there's a need, and what our report says is that there's a need for us to start to address the questions that are responsive to the urgent needs of society. And I think that's echoed around the world as international organizations and national organizations, state level, are all interested in asking, what do we do now about climate change? And I think that the science research needs to be done to provide the underpinning to those responses.
So what kind of science would you suggest that we might start doing in order to address some of these urgent human needs?
So we identify some priorities for this interagency program. We think that a reorganizing of the program along the lines of these of scientific societal issues, such as the continued food supply, raising sea levels, freshwater availability, ecosystem management, human health, and the impacts on the economy of this country, and of course extreme weather events and climate events and disasters.
So we really haven't been looking at these types of critical questions until now?
I think in terms of some of the underpinning science, we've been doing that, but we've not been very good at communicating how we should respond to those and what needs to be done. There's been a strong emphasis on the physical science part of research, and now there's time to broaden the program a little bit to include the human dimensions.
This stuff doesn't come cheap. I know that just a few days ago, the United States lost a satellite to observe carbon from an orbiting satellite. It was $273 million.
Yes, that was an extremely unfortunate event, and a lot of people had spent a large amount of time and effort to try and get these instruments built and launched, and that's a real blow for us. But it does highlight the need for us to look at a international cooperation to share data and information from the different observing systems. Luckily, there is a Japanese satellite that was launched last month, which is addressing some of these observations, and I think now leaning on that a little bit while we recover from the loss and figure out what we're going to go to fill the gap, I think, is quite important.
What kind of money are we talking about in terms of this future research you're suggesting?
So in terms of significant increases of funding, we felt that clearly providing the observations needed to see how the climate's changing, to look at the impacts of the change, and for us to monitor those over the long term, that's a significant cost, as you mentioned in the previous comment about the cost of the carbon observatory. We think that regional and decadal scale modeling will require a whole new generation of computer infrastructure and a cadre of scientists which have been trained and equipped to work at the regional scale. Funding a national climate service will cost a lot of money. And a comprehensive effort on adaptation mitigation will require new funds. As an academy committee, we didn't talk about precise dollar amounts, and we get a sense from the program that it's actually had declining funding since a peak in 1995. So although the demand for information and the demands on the program are increasing, the budgets have actually declined. And so we do believe that to build the program that we envision through this this report, we'll need significant increase in funding.
How receptive is the current administration to this kind of study?
Well, we're hopeful that the current administration will play an active role in guiding and supporting this kind of initiative. We've heard repeatedly that they're interested in supporting a combination of both basic research and mission-oriented research. The administration has been supportive of doing research, and I think now the movement is towards action. What do we do about it? And so the question is, what can be done now, and what role does the science play? And so we believe that there's a need for research to understand the basic processes, but also to address the questions that society are asking as to what do we do now about climate change.
Well, Professor Justice, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, too.
Chris Justice is a professor of geography at the University of Maryland and vice chair of the National Research Council panel, which just released the report, Restructuring Federal Climate Research to Meet the Challenges of Climate Change. You can hear our program anytime on our website or get a download for your MP3 player. The address is loe.org. That's loe.org. There you'll also find pictures and more information about our stories, and we'd like to hear from you. You can reach us at comments@loe.org. Once again, comments@loe.org. Our postal address is 20 Holland Street, Somerville, Massachusetts, 02144. And you can call our listener line at 800-218-9988. That's 800-218-9988. Just ahead, bad vibes about the smart grid.
Tell someone you're going to run wires through the community that come from one state and go through to another state. You don't have to take a poll. No one is going to be for it. And what is missing is the ability of those who desire to build this transmission system to actually get the approval and the permit to do it. It takes years. It takes hundreds of millions of dollars. And at best, the outcome is uncertain.
Keep listening to Living on Earth.